sixth chapter. You got volume? All right. 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. First Corinthians, the sixth chapter, and the 20th verse. Tonight we're going to start dealing with the body. Last week we talked about how specifically three houses that has to be in order: our individual house, our family house, then the apostolic house, which is the church. And each one of those houses have to be in divine order. If one is not in divine order, then the next won't be in divine order. If the next is not in divine order, then the last, which is the apostolic house, would not be in order. We understood that in our individual bodies, that our spirit is what? King. Our mind or soul?
Servant.
And the body is the?
Slave.
Tonight we're going to deal with the slave. Because believe it or not, for all of humanity, the body has been the king. All right? The body has been the king. And we're going to find out tonight that a lot of times we don't realize it, but we make decisions based on our bodies. All right? So we have to understand. First thing I want you to understand, if you've been in church any length amount of time, especially if you come out the Baptist background, you know we don't like to deal with, we don't like to glorify the body. We want to kill the body. We want to punish the body. And we think punishing the body is what's going to make it change. It ain't going to make it change. All it's going to do is follow instructions. So the issue is, where's getting his instructions from? All right? Now here's this. In this 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, the 20th verse, it says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Apostrophe S. That means your spirit and your body belongs to him. Why? A price has been paid. What price? The price that Christ paid on Calvary. Paid the price so that your bodies can be used by him. So the first thing I want you to realize is God wants to use your body. It is not evil. It is not, your flesh. It's not of the devil. If your flesh was of the devil, then God shouldn't have made it. That makes sense? The Bible says God made man, right? From the dust of the ground, formed man from the dust of the ground. That's flesh. And he breathed his life into man. So God always had intentions for our bodies to be used. All right, so you have to realize that your body is not your own. It has been bought with a price. Go with me to Acts, the second chapter. Without a body, you have no legal right to be here. Without your body, you do not have a right to be in the natural. So obviously, your body can be used for good and it can be used for evil. It just depends on where it's getting its instructions from. Acts Acts the second chapter. It was first said in the Old Testament, but we don't have to go to the Old Testament because it's written here. In verse 16, it said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all. Whoa. Notice he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Meaning he'll pour his spirit out on all mankind. But that means, by that scripture, that means that our flesh can become supernatural. I know that one threw you for a loop. He said, well, how can our flesh become supernatural? Well, how could Paul lay hands on handkerchiefs? And the handkerchiefs could take it from his body and lay it on sick folk and they get healed. It had to be something on his flesh. Because the handkerchief can't touch his spirit. The handkerchief can't touch his soul. Are you seeing this? So we have to understand to put our bodies in the proper perspective. Not see our bodies as our enemy. If anything going to be an enemy, it's going to be your mind. If anything going to be an enemy, it's going to be your mind. And if your body follow your mind, then your body becomes the enemy. You seeing this? So you know that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And that God wants to pour his spirit on all flesh. All right. Romans, the 8th chapter. There's no other way for God to bring heaven to earth unless he use our bodies. There's no other way. You don't have, once again, I said, you don't have a legal right to be here if you don't have a body. You can't just be around here as a spirit. You're ineffective in the natural without a body. So you have to have a body. I'm saying this over and over again because I want you to begin to understand that your body is not the enemy. And that, watch this, we're going to see that the way God created the body in a few moments, he designed it to be that way. Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 4th verse, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. See, that's the problem. If you're walking after the flesh, what that means, the flesh is the king. You're supposed to be walking after the spirit. If you're walking after the flesh, that's when your flesh becomes the enemy. All right, let's keep reading. For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind or focus on the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Watch this. Now we're about to catch a hint. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So now we see that our bodies are going to follow the flesh when we are carnal minded. Carnal minded simply means to have thoughts other than the thoughts of God. But if we become spiritually minded, then our flesh will walk after the spirit. We have to realize that Our bodies, God is going to use, God is using and has used, is using and will continue to use our bodies to bring heaven to earth. We're so concerned about trying to get from earth to heaven that we don't realize that he wants to use us to bring heaven to earth. Are you seeing this? The body has desires. Guess who placed them there? God the Father. The body has three basic needs. Food, sex, and rest. That's what your body screams for. Those three things. God placed them there. And if you notice, most of the major sins evolve from those three. Those three desires. So what we have to understand is that getting rid of those desires are not the problem. Because without those desires, watch this, if you didn't want to eat, what's going to happen? You're going to starve to death. Right. If we as humans didn't want to procreate, what would happen? I mean, mankind, as we know it, going to be gone. If we don't sleep, body can't function. Y'all know some of y'all get sleepy. Y'all go to talking sideways, get mean, get ugly, just I don't be around you when you sleeping. I got some laughs, so y'all must know some people. But that's real. That's what happens. We don't eat sometimes. We get beside ourselves. Those desires are strong for a reason. They're strong because they help maintain mankind. But we have to learn to put those desires in their place. That's why we've been given the power of choice. That's why we've been given the mind to choose. That's why we've been given the ability to say yes and to say no. Because we have those three desires. And they're very strong. And God made them to be very strong. Because if they're not strong, then mankind would not survive. If you didn't want to eat, it's only going to be a matter of time for you to lose strength. You lose body mass. And your heart don't want to beat no more. It's only a matter of time when you don't sleep. You don't sleep, your body get weak. Body gets weak, can't fight off disease. Am I making sense? Yes, and then if we don't want to have sex, it's no procreation can happen. Watch this. There can be no legacy.
Right.
What did God tell Abraham? I'm going to bless you and your children. I'm going to bless you and bless those that bless you until all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, why Abraham didn't ask for a supernatural son? He asked for a physical, God, I need a son. Why he asked for a son? He said, God, I know you ain't gave me all of this to accomplish for Eleazar, to leave it to Eleazar, somebody who I can't trust to carry it out. So Abraham wasn't super spiritual and asked for a spiritual. He asked for a physical son because he understood that the blessing, watch this, the blessing, the anointing is unnecessary in heaven. Think about it. All right, let's define what the anointing is. The anointing, according to Isaiah, is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God, right? Mm-hmm. Are there any yokes in heaven? No. Are there any burdens in heaven? No. So there's no need for the anointing in heaven. So therefore, thank you, Holy Spirit. The only entity that the anointing can cooperate with is flesh. The anointing comes to remove burdens and destroy yokes in the natural. So therefore, if we don't understand that our body is a part of God's plan, we won't take care of it. We won't treat it right. We have to learn to put the body in its place. It is a slave. It does as it's told. You can usually tell when people don't have, you can usually tell a person's, now watch me, listen to me very carefully. You can usually tell a person's spiritual discipline by what they choose to do with their body. So if you get somebody who always whoring around, you can automatically tell they're not too reliable spiritually. The Bible's here. I got something for you. Watch this. The Bible says in Proverbs that strong drinks makes a fool. Talking about liquor. Strong drink make a fool. The Bible, watch this. Let me free you up. Because a lot of people get the discussion about alcohol and all that. The Bible never said you couldn't drink. But what the Bible does say that strong drink will make you a fool. So now let's think about this. God expects us to be a little bit brighter than some of us. See, some Christians like to ignore and play dumb and play ignorant. Well, yeah, I can't find no verse in the Bible that say I can't drink. How many have heard that before? I can't find it. Tell me where in the Bible it say I can't drink. All right, that's no problem. Okay, it's no problem. But what the Bible says, strong drink makes a fool. So now, if I'm drinking strong drinks, I don't have control of my mental faculties. So now when I don't have control of my mental faculties, Satan can suggest anything. How many of y'all recently, those that are watching by internet, you might not have heard about this, but those are here locally. You remember just last weekend before, there was a gentleman in Central, either Central or Baker, shot three of his friends, then kill himself. Do you know why that happened? Drinking alcohol. He killed three of his friends. Now, what they were doing, they had decided in their clear minds, a couple weeks before, they had decided in their clear mind that we're going to get together and we're going to watch the football game. We're going to tailgate. So now, what all of a sudden happened? We get here, and all of a sudden, three of them die, and then he kill himself. It wasn't no argument. Nobody was mentally deranged. You talk to everybody about the guy who did the shooting. He said he was the nicest guy. He loved everybody. He ain't had no problem. He loved life. So what happened? They got to drinking and arguing over music. I mean, it's funny, but it's. So what happened? Strong drink took away their ability to make sound decisions. So now you don't really need a verse in the Bible to tell you. The Bible tells you what it's going to do to you. So now the worst thing in the world is being in a position in which Satan can have access to your mental faculties and you can't stop him.
Right.
It wasn't nothing but Satan suggested. Oh, they messing with you, man. Won't you get your gun? Won't you get a gun and shoot him? How you gonna say no? He not in his right mind. The alcohol done blissed him. How he know? How can he be in the, he not in his right mind? So here it is, you do it. Then when he get in his right mind, oh Lord, what I done? That's when he shot himself. You seeing this? See, so my point is that you must put the body in its place. And then you have to have a clear mind so that the body can do what the mind is saying, which is the will of God. Is this making sense? Go to Romans the 8th chapter. I mean, Romans the 12th chapter. I'm sorry, Romans the 12th chapter. We had the scripture last week. Romans the 12th chapter, verse. It says, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You present your bodies. Now, wait a minute now. If your body wasn't going to be used by God, why would you need to present it? So therefore, he says, present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service, the least we can do. So we have to present our bodies to God for God to use. Now, in doing that, that word present is such an awesome word in that scripture that you must present. You must do it. God is not going to do it. The Holy Spirit ain't going to do it. Jesus is not going to do it. Your pastor, your apostle is not going to do it. Your husband is not going to do it. Your wife is not going to do it. Your children are not going to do it for you. You have to present your bodies a living. Present. You have to make it available. So that means choices will have to be made. You have to present your body a living sacrifice, which means you're going to have to bring your body under subjection. It's not going to be something overpowers you and make you do it. It's going to be you deciding to do it. Same things with those desires. It's going to be you choosing to control those desires. Is that making sense? You must make your body obey. You must make your body obey. Your body's not going to obey on its own. You know why your body's not going to obey on its own? Because your body is the thing that's easily influenced by your sin consciousness. Sin consciousness easily influences your body. But because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, sin no longer has dominion over us. So therefore, why is it you don't have to teach children to lie? You don't teach children to lie? Boy, they're going to figure that thing out on their own. Let them do something in the house. Let them break a lamp. And then you walk around, who broke this lamp? Who broke this lamp? Well, I don't know who broke that lamp. I don't know. They know good and well it was them. Are you seeing this? So therefore, we have to make our bodies obey. You have to make your body do what's right. It's not going to do what's right on its own. Because of what Adam and Eve did, because of the first decision they made, they set a precedent. All before, when they were allowing God to influence them, they never had to worry about sin. Because just like God was perfect or is perfect, they were perfect. As long as they obeyed God, they did everything right. Watch this. Even when they were obeying God, and they might have made a mistake without Satan's influence, God still covered them. Mm-hmm. But now, because Adam and Eve made a choice that they're going to get their source of information from somewhere else, that's when sin consciousness set in. So now you don't have to teach people to sin. You don't have to teach them at all. They come out the womb ready to sin. The problem is they just ain't got their mental faculties together to sin. But you let the little boy break that lamp. Who broke your lamp? Oh, I don't know, Mama. I don't know who broke that lamp. Knowing good where he broke the lamp. Now, who taught him to lie? Are you seeing this? So you go out. So it's not that we get born again and something overpowers us to where we don't sin no more. When we get born again, we're empowered to choose not to sin. See, that's the difference. We are empowered to choose not to sin. You must make the body obey. The author begins to give us a few pointers on practical tips on how to make our bodies obey. Watch this. Number one, he says, your no must stand strong. In other words, when you decide not to do something, it must stand strong. Your body has to take you seriously. You have to exercise your right to say no with yourself. You have to put yourself to the, you have to put, you have to, you know, when you're working out, you have to have resistance. If you don't have resistance, you ain't doing nothing. All right. So we have to, in order to make our bodies obey, we must go up against some resistance within ourselves. Other words, we must discipline ourselves. Whether it be sleep, whether it be food, whether it be watching TV, we have to discipline ourselves. Other words, you pick your favorite TV show. Here's a test. Your favorite TV show. Can you tell yourself you're not going to watch this show? That's good. Can you tell yourself, no, we're not sitting here watching this. Nothing wrong with the show. Show could be wonderful. But can you tell yourself, no, we're not going to watch this? Or is it, I got to watch this? See, when you say to yourself, I don't know if I can pass that test. I got to watch my show. I got to watch my stories. If that's the case, then you're going to have problems with sin. Because you have to make your body obey.
Right.
See, don't think for a moment that Joseph just all of a sudden was in part of a house room and just all of a sudden got strength to say no. He had the strength to say no because he had already been disciplining his body.
Amen.
He, watch this now. He made that decision without the blood of Jesus available. He made that decision. He made his body obey without the blood of Jesus available. He made that decision without grace being available.
My God.
Are you seeing this? You have to. Is it that pound cake? Oh, they're stepping some toes now. Is anything wrong with the pound cake? No. Not unless you eat it every day. But what about that one time? Can you look at it and say, no, I'm not eating it?
That's right.
Say, ooh-wee. Now, you must make your body obey. You must make your body obey. Is this making sense? See, you have to test yourself.
Right. That's good.
You have to test. You have to make your body obey. You have to make it do what it's supposed to do. It's not going to do it on its own. And it's not going Watch this. And the body does not pay attention to, I should do this. The body don't pay attention to what you should do. The body pay attention to what it wants to do, unless something else comes in and tell it it's not going to do this. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
You have to make your body obey. Next, you have to wake your body up and shut it down. Can't keep hitting that snooze clock. Because if you keep hitting the snooze clock, you know, some people do this. Some people try to trick themselves. They know they got to get up for 6:30. So they start hitting the snooze. They start hitting the alarm at 5:45. They hit the snooze. 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 Hit the snooze 9 times. You got 5 minutes between each snooze, right? Hit the snooze. Hit it again. Hit it again. So now you done psyched yourself out that, oh, okay, I'm fine up. No, that's your body telling you, you ain't getting up right now. Instead of you saying, I want to get up, I know I need to be up at 6:30. Alarm clock, go off, bam, hit it, I'm getting up.
Right. That's good.
You got to make your body.
That's right.
Now, mind you now, everything else held constant. We have to have that term put in science, in the physical science. Everything else held constant. That means this ought to work if everything else is in its right place. So mind you, you are getting the proper amount of sleep. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying you go to bed at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you gotta get up at 6:30, and you hit the alarm clock, you get up at 6:30. That's 3.5 hours of sleep. You ain't gonna do that. You ain't gonna do that. I'm talking about being realistic. You know you got a good night, full night of sleep. You know you gotta get up, hit the alarm, and I'm up. You gotta train yourself for that. You see, some people are better at it than others. That don't mean you can't do it, and that don't mean you worse than a person. It's just what you've decided how to train your body. Your body know you. Your body know you gonna hit the alarm 6 times, hit the snooze 6 times. It already know that. It's already trained for that. I know some people, their bodies are trained that they don't need an alarm clock.
That's true.
They've done it so many times consistently that their bodies automatically know, hey, it's 6:30,
right.
You're getting up. That's from them doing it consistently over and over. Their body ain't gonna play with them. Their body knows at 6:30, I got to get up. If I don't get up, then I know they got a strong enough mind to get me up.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
See, is that making sense? See, these are practical things we can do to get your body used to obeying. So now your body is trained to listen to your mind. So now when God speaks to you, watch this. You trust God. You believe God. You have faith in him. When God tells you to do something and it's out of the ordinary, your body won't have no hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you make your body obey. Is that making sense?
Yes.
Three, you have to, watch this, you have to put yourself in a position to strategize to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now listen, before I say this, let me give you my little spiel on health. There's so much out there and everybody got the answer. You have to find out what works for you. But you need to find something. You got me? See, it's very hard for your body to be used by God if it's not healthy. Is that making sense? It's not. He'll use you, but you if you're not at full capacity, what else can he do with you? Is that making sense?
Yes.
So you have to put a strategy in that will at least put you in a position to where you can be the best that you can be, health-wise. Am I making sense? Because you got some people, you got some people, now I'm not against this, I ain't got nothing against them. Some people like CrossFit. I'm not doing no CrossFit. How many know what CrossFit is? Anybody ever heard of CrossFit? I'm not doing no CrossFit. I mean, I love me. I mean, you know, I stay in shape, I do better, but I'm not doing no CrossFit. But I'm not going to get another and do nothing. What I'm saying is you have to position yourself so that you can be at optimum usability. So nobody should come under condemnation. It should be, hey, I want to feel my best. Because I'm going to tell you something. Christians like to ignore feelings. They like to ignore feelings. But you know, feelings are indicators. We talked about this. They're indicators. People like to ignore feelings, but feelings are indicators. Feelings is what fuels you to do something. How many times you say, I don't feel like exercising? That's a feeling. I mean, where our feelings come from? Anybody remember? Our thoughts. Remember that? Remember your environment produce your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act. Right? Remember that? Did we talk about it, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
So now if I have improper feelings, that means I have improper thoughts. You see how your body follows your mind? Feelings is what fuels you to do something. So watch this. If it's whatever it may be, if it's that TV show that you're trying to do, we're not going to watch this. And you just feel compelled, like, you know, I got to watch this. Go back and check your thoughts. Because now you done made that TV show more important than what it really is. So now in order to control making your body obey, we don't have to watch this. Then all you got to do is go to eliminate that feeling is go back to the mind, change some thoughts. Once you rewire those thoughts, they're going to produce the feeling that I really don't have to watch this. And therefore, you can be strong in saying your no. Do you see how God made our bodies the way, and if we don't understand how it works, then the enemy comes. See, here's what the enemy do. The enemy comes in knowing, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. There's a scripture in Psalms, I'm going to look it up. David was singing a psalm. He says, God, you made me, and you made me, I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. And he said, oh, how I know thee, oh, how quite well thou, I know by my soul how thou made me. Right? My soul was there. That's what he said. My soul was there when you made me. What David was saying is that our soul and our spirit was with God when he was creating our bodies. So now here's the thing. If our soul and our spirit was there when God was creating our bodies, so was Satan. So Satan's sitting there knowing how we work, how we function, and using it against us. So now, if Satan wants you to get you to do something, if he wants your body to do something, he's not going to your body. He's going to your mind. Get you to think in a certain way that produce feelings that cause you to act.
Right, right.
So if I don't train my body to obey, watch this. If I don't train my body to obey, then all Satan got to do is come to my mind, get me to think in a certain way. So I start. That's what happened. That's why people get addicted to drugs. Because the drug caused certain endorphins and different chemicals to be released in the brain to produce certain feelings that the body wants to feel. And so if you ever talk to a drug addict, they saying is all they're trying to do is get back to that first high. So their body is not under subjection. Their body don't want to obey. Their body is being controlled by desires. So now all they're doing is going and get some chemical substance to try to reproduce the brain, to reproduce the feeling that it caused the body to feel. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So this is why we have to have a strategy in which we make our bodies obey. Mm-hmm. You have to challenge your body. You know some of your favorite desserts. Nothing wrong with, listen, don't come into condemnation. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't want anybody to come into condemnation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you can't eat your dessert. That ain't what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, can you tell it no?
Right.
That's what I'm concerned about. Can you say no? And can you stand by it? And will it torment you for the next 2 or 3 days? To where the next 2 or 3 days, you say, oh, I ain't eat it that Sunday, but I'm going to get it this Tuesday. Do you understand? Do y'all get what I'm saying? See, because that just means you just delayed. You fooling yourself. Your body really ain't. You really not making your body obey. You just telling your body, hold on. We gonna show. We gonna front right now. But we gonna get it later on. We gonna get it. Are you saying? Same thing with the show. DVR make it so wonderful. Oh, I ain't got to watch. Not get DVR. So now you fooling yourself. As if you told your body no. But all you did was say, we don't have to do it right now, but we just shh. We're going to do it later on. Is this making sense? See, Satan knows how our bodies work. And so he used that against us. You must learn to discipline your day. Sometimes some people can do it and discipline their day and don't and just do it by routine. Some of us have to write it down. Doesn't matter if you can do it without writing it down. All right, that's irrelevant. I'm not concerned about that. All I'm concerned about is doing it. You know, a daily routine that calls you to get into a rhythm. One of the daily routines, soon as your feet hit the floor, Lord, I love you. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you. So you go old school on this one. Thank you for waking me up in my right mind. You go to pray the old prayer. Lord, some of their tongues cleaving to the top of their mouth, but mine is not. Cleaving to the roof of their mouth, but mine is not. Lord, I thank you. As a man told me one time, I say, how you doing? He say, I'm on this side of the grass. I'm on the right side of the grass. So you wake up in the morning of that routine, God acknowledging him first, acknowledging him, thank you, ma'am, acknowledging him and getting in his presence.
Yes.
Routine. Early will I seek thee.
Yes.
Why I need to seek him early? Because late, you're going to be the wind through your day.
Come on.
You're going to be wind through your day, and everything that you're going to face, you done faced it already.
That's right.
See, when you seek him early, you get all the insight for what you're going to face that day.
Come on now.
Because if you, watch this, there's some things that you're going to face that you don't know you're going to face, but God knows you're going to face.
Right.
See, this is what I love about praying in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Bible says when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're praying in an unknown tongue. You're praying in a mystery. Now, here's the thing. When you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're praying in a mystery, but you're not going to get that mystery all the time right then.
Right.
Do you know why God calls us to pray in the Holy Spirit? Here's why we have the gift of praying in the Holy Spirit. Here's why we have the gift of speaking in tongues. Because for anything to be legal in the earth realm, first has to be spoken out. If it's not spoken out, it can't happen. So what God has did with us is he's allowed us to speak things out for which we don't understand. Because if we understood everything that we wanted to speak out, that God was speaking through us, we wouldn't say some of the stuff. If you really knew some of the things that you were praying, if you really had the mental capacity to to think about it, and if you could pray in the Spirit like you pray in English, some of the stuff you wouldn't say.
Right.
But there are mysteries that we're praying out. I mean, actually voicing. That's why the Bible says that the Spirit gives us utterance. He gives the meaning to what we're saying. So that whenever God reveals to us what we've been praying, because you know you ought to ask him, God, what was I saying? Because in praying in the Holy Spirit, a lot of times your answers, you're saying your own answers. So you need to ask God for interpretation so that they can be revealed. Once they're revealed, ain't no sense in it being revealed if your body ain't in check. Is this making sense? So your routine, I seek him early in the morning. You spend X amount of minutes praying. You spend X amount of minutes reading the Word of God. Your routine, one of the routines that I have developed in myself, this is just me. I'm not saying you got to do this. This is just what I do. One of the things I do is when I'm in my car, I guess it's because I never was really a radio person. So I don't really have my radio on. I'm praying in the Spirit. Now, this is me. I'm not saying you have to do that, but that's just one of my daily, that's one of my routine. That's my discipline. Even if sometimes one of my kids might have the radio on or whatever, and automatically I get my car, hear it on, I immediately flip it off and say, this time I could be praying in the Holy Spirit. Right. That's just me. I'm not trying to be super spiritual, or I'm not trying to put you under condemnation, but that's just a discipline I have.
Right.
My point is you have to develop discipline. You have to develop a daily routine. You have to develop habits. See, I'm not saying rituals rituals have the tendency, you have a tendency to go through the motion. That's what tradition is. Tradition is doing something repetitively and not knowing why you're doing it. That's tradition. For we closing here, I heard a story of a lady talking about she was cooking a ham. How many of you have heard that? Cooking a ham, old story. She cut the end of the ham off. Put it in the pot. Cook it. Cut the end of the ham off, put it in the pot. Put it in the pot and cook it. And one day her daughter asked her, well, Mom, why you cut the end of the ham off? You know, she's like, I really don't know. I just saw my mama cut the end of the ham off. And the reason why her mama cut the ham off was because the pot wasn't big enough. So some traditions, you see what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that you have traditions. I'm saying you should have daily routines.
Right.
Other words, you're doing this and you know why you're doing it. See, you know why you're doing it. It's not just, you're not just going through the motions. You know, some people, reading the Bible has become a tradition. They do it over and over and have forgotten the reason why they're doing it. The reason why we read the Word of God is to renew our minds so that we can recognize when God starts talking. That's why we read the Bible, so that our minds can be renewed and refreshed, so that when God starts talking, we can recognize whether it's him or not. Are we seeing this? Next week we continue with the body. But this week I want you to practice some of this stuff. Look, read your book, practice some of this stuff. You know, begin to train your body, because here's the thing. All of us in here and watching by internet, it's not the cardinal sins that I'm concerned about. I ain't worried about that. I mean, some of us may make mistakes or whatever. I ain't worried about that. We can overcome that. But the Bible says anytime you disobey God, it's sin. Sin is nothing more than separating you from God. Anytime you disobey God, so if your body is not in check, if you can't discipline yourself, you know you're supposed to pray in the Holy Spirit, and you can't pray in the Holy Spirit because you ain't disciplined yourself, that's sin. How I know it's sin? To him to know to do good and do it is not, to him it is separating them from God. Don't let your body be the thing that separates you from God. It is the slave. It has no say-so. It only knows to obey. Amen. I'll see y'all next week. I receive.